Hello, I am Van Brian, and you are listening to the Classical Wisdom Audio Library. Today, we are looking at a true giant from the classical age. We are talking about a man who so popularized a method of philosophical inquiry that it bears his very name. It's a method that you have almost certainly used yourself at some point, quite possibly without even knowing it. In this sense, we are all indebted. We are all students of this great and unusual man, Socrates. Born in Athens in 469 BC, Socrates came from humble but honest beginnings. The young thinker did not conform to our stereotypical image of a serious-looking man with a long white beard and flowing robes. He was, like his father before him, a stonecutter. In fact, Socrates the senior would have been working in Athens during the Periclean building plan of the 5th century. Consequently, it is likely he would have helped hew and shape the stones that went into the Hephaestion and its more famous cousin, the Parthenon. However, Socrates, in typically peculiar fashion, considered himself to be more influenced by his mother's profession, that of a midwife. While she facilitated the birth of new, healthy Athenians, Socrates thought himself a nurturer of ideas, even if, like a midwife, not necessarily a producer of the same. But before taking up the self-proclaimed mantle as intellectual intermediary of Athenian thought, Socrates, like countless other men, did his stint at soldiering. Socrates served as a hoplite, an infantryman. However, unlike other historical periods, this was not an attempt to escape poverty. Quite the opposite, in fact. To serve, one needed to supply the equipment oneself. No insubstantial task for a poor laborer. Socrates, described as a great, ugly brute with extraordinary strength, which was belied by his surprising grace of movement, served with distinction at Potidaea, Amphipolis, and Delium, three battles during the Peloponnesian War. He even saved the life of the brilliant, controversial general Alcibiades, earning him much praise and honor among his peers. Unlike other prominent citizens of the age, Socrates was not a traveler, other than to fulfill his military duties, of course. However, he probably thought he didn't need to be. 5th century Athens was a pilgrimage site for intellectuals. Socrates would have spoken to countless great minds who flocked to the cradle of democracy in search of art and enlightenment. Socrates' philosophical influences were said to have primarily been the thinkers Archelaus and Anaxagoras, and that, other than his marriage to Xanthippe, who is described for posterity as a shrew, is all we really have to go on with regards to Socrates' private life. There are, however, a few other notable stories that come down to us from antiquity. It is said in 406 BC that Socrates was a member of the Bull, the Council of Citizens which dealt with day-to-day policy implementation. And in his capacity therein, he refused the illegal demand that the generals from the Battle of Arginusae be tried en bloc for professional misconduct after failing to rescue drowning sailors. Then, in 404 BC, the 30 tyrants, a Spartan-supported oligarchy, seized power in Athens. And despite having friends in the new government, Socrates likewise proved a thorn in their side. He did not accept their illegal request that he bring the innocent Leon of Salamis to be executed, just because Leon happened not to be a supporter of the 30 tyrants. Socrates may very well have been in mortal danger because of his uncooperative actions, had not democracy been rapidly reinstated and an armistice declared. Although these may seem like good examples of virtuous, just, clement behavior on the part of Socrates, it is difficult to really understand very much about the man. Indeed, in true Socratic style, it is much easier to say what Socrates was not. He was not a teacher. At least not in the traditional sense. He was not an aristocrat. He was not a panderer. He was not a politician, at least not a career one. He was not a rich man, and he would have told you, although you may not have believed him, that he was not wise. He was, however, most certainly tried and executed for impiety and corrupting the youth of Athens in 399 BC. Plato, his most famous student and dear comrade, called him the wisest and most just of all men. Aristotle refers to the death of Socrates as a terrible crime against philosophy. There is more to be said about this legendary figure, and say it we inevitably will. But for now, we will say goodbye to Socrates and make plans to visit with him later.